This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Eloise Wellings is a two-time Olympian, 5,000 and 10,000-metre Olympic finalist as well. She's persevered through injury after injury and will be competing at the Commonwealth Games this April. She joins us today. Good morning, Eloise.
Hi.
11 stress fractures for over a decade, and yet you still find motivation to run. Where does that come from?
I think just passion for the sport, really. I mean, it was very difficult going through that period of getting injury after injury, and especially, you know, a stress fracture, which puts you out for at least 6 weeks. And, you know, it's obviously devastating to miss those first three Olympics. But I think, you know, I've always believed that God has, you know, had a better plan than what I'd planned. And yeah, I just get back into running and I get, you know, taste for it again and set new goals and just press on. I guess probably I didn't really know what else I would do with my life either, to be honest, because that's all I ever really wanted to be when I was younger, is a runner. So kind of part stupidity and part tenacity, I guess.
Eloise, I want to ask you about your two Olympic experiences in London and Rio. I've been just watching the Winter Games and just seeing how much training goes into just a very short amount of time and the pressure that must be on the athletes. What was the experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, and I guess most of the pressure for me comes from the pressure that I put on myself. And, you know, certainly lining up for my first Olympics in London, it was such an emotional experience after sort of missing out on three previous Olympics, and definitely in the lead up there was post-traumatic stress, I guess, of, you know, real anxiety about, you know, would I actually make it to the starting line this time. And but yeah, I just had to, you know, daily just give it back to God and hand it over and go, well, you know, I've worked hard for this, and I've worked hard to also enjoy it, and I felt like I just should just try and enjoy it as much as I could, despite the pressure that I felt. Yeah, and I did. It was an amazing experience.
Between when you first started this and now, you know, now you're married, you've got a child. Where do you find the time to put in the same kind of effort to get you to kind of a Commonwealth Games or an Olympic level of fitness so you can compete?
Yeah, I think we just navigate each day and each week, because we haven't completely worked out yet. There's still days that are super disorganized, and, you know, I only just put my Christmas tree down like 2 weeks ago. So,
you could see out another couple of months and leave it up for the next year.
Yeah, you
totally
could.
I did take a poll on Instagram for that, and it was something like 90% people said that I should keep it up. But I ended up finding some time to take it down. The questions from my daughter about why Santa hasn't come yet, we're getting a bit tiresome every day. So, but yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of support. My husband is incredibly supportive, and, you know, I think whilst I can still run and still, I guess, use running as a platform to bring light to what we've had the opportunity to do in Uganda, then I'll do it for as long as I can.
Well, let's talk about that for a bit, because, I mean, one of my favourite passages from Scripture is Micah 6:8, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. You know, what does the Lord require of us to do? You meet a Ugandan Olympian who just has an incredible background that leads you to set up this charity. Do you want to give us a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, so I met Julius Achon when I was training over in Portland in 2008. I was over there trying to rehab another stress fracture in my foot right before the Beijing Olympics, and I was trying to make it back in time to make the Olympics. And I met Julius in a house that we were both staying in, that we had the same sponsor at the time, and they had a house that international athletes could come and base from, and we just struck up this immediate friendship. And, you know, we both know and love Jesus, and we're obviously very passionate about running. And Julius, he began to tell me his story of being born into poverty in northern Uganda, and, you know, the 25 years of civil war that went on there with the Lord's Resistance Army. And he shared his vision about going back to his community and starting some grassroots projects to help people get back on their feet after the war. And I was really touched by his story, and my husband and I became really good friends with him, and we ended up going to Uganda a few months later to go to Julius and his wife Grace's wedding, and we met the children, the orphans that Julius had been caring for. He found 11 orphans living underneath a bus on a visit home.
Wow.
To his community, and yeah, we just thought that we should start something in Australia to raise funds to help Julius with his vision of helping people back on their feet after the war. And so that's how we started the Love Mercy Foundation.
What are some of the projects that you've seen throughout the last decade take place through Love Mercy?
Yeah, so when we got home, I met our now CEO, Caitlin Barrett, and she helped us set up, you know, a fully fledged foundation. And we began basically with Julius's vision of having a hospital, a health centre built in his village to service the 20,000 people that live in the area. The nearest hospital was 72 kilometres away, and obviously people don't have cars or ways of getting to the hospital or to the health centre when they're sick. So we started building Christina Health Centre, which is named after Julius's mother, who was shot by rebels during the war. And then we started our Sense for Seeds program. So it's basically a micro financing farming loan program we run with primarily with women. And what happens is it costs $30 to sponsor a woman through the program. And a woman in Uganda receives 30 kilograms of seeds. And with those seeds, she goes and grows and harvests those seeds. And out of those seeds, she usually harvests around 300 to 350 kilograms of food.
Wow.
And with that food, she's able to obviously feed her family. She can sell some of the food at the marketplace to send her and use that money to send her own children to school and to buy other foods and household items. And we're really seeing a massive impact through Sense for Seeds. We started Sense for Seeds with 100 women in 2009, and we're doing it this year with 13,800 women.
And the goal is to get to 2020, was it 20,000 women supported?
Yes, 20,000 women.
Wow.
So the women at the end of the season give back the 30 kilograms of seed so that we can pass it on to a woman in the next season.
Amazing.
And, it's getting incredible results. It's enabling the family to create their own livelihood. And it's taking away the older model of sponsoring individual children. It's actually empowering the family to do that themselves. Although, obviously, there is a need for that in some areas. Yeah, it's actually, it's obviously empowering them so much. You know, I've been in Uganda and I've heard women say, you know, with Sense for Seeds, I now have a hope for the future. Mm. And with this program, I can now stand on my own two feet. And that was the goal from the very beginning, that we would, you know, it would be a hand up and not a handout.
That's awesome. Eloise, you've got a couple of months now until the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast.
Yep.
As well as doing all this other stuff that you're doing, as well as being a mum and a wife, how do you see the next few months of training as you kind of gear up for April?
I'm excited. I was actually just thinking about it this morning because I've got breaks, but I've broken it up into two. I've got 6 weeks today until I race the 10,000 metres on the Gold Coast.
Wow.
And I'm going to Japan for a race next week, and then I get back from that and I have another race in Sydney the week after, and then I do 10 days of altitude training up in Falls Creek, and then after that there's about 7 or 8 days left once I get back from the mountains. So it'll be taper time from then. It'll just be about absorbing all the training over the last few weeks and getting my head set more than anything, getting myself mentally prepared for the battle.
So I'm still grappling with the fact that you said you feel like there's kind of this call on your life that God has kind of created you to run, but you continually have stress fractures. You know, like you're now right on the cusp of running again, and we're very excited about that. But what is the motivation there that sits where you say, like, you know, like let's say it's year 8 of stress fractures where you say, God's still calling me to do it. I'm going to run, and you don't have that thought, like, maybe I should swim instead. Like, that's still you know, it blows my mind.
Yeah. No, I had that many times, and I think, you know, after missing out on my third Olympics, you know, I was devastated, and I did question, you know, if it was something, if running was what I was meant to be doing, and I did question God's, you know, sovereignty with the plan, and, you know, I did question whether it was a dream that he'd actually placed in my heart all along, and, you know, but then once I met Julius and we started Love Murphy, everything kind of just started to unfold, and it wasn't my last stress fracture. I still had another couple of stress fractures after that, but it just enabled me to just keep going no matter what, even though I couldn't see how it was going to work out. I just kept believing that this is actually what I'm meant to be doing, and I'm not, you know, Julius's motto is never give up, and it sounds so cliche, but if you, you know, if you understood and heard his complete story, that would become so powerful, and it did for me. And, you know, never give up just became my sort of mantra as well, and, you know, and things have worked out. And there's that scripture that says, you know, God will cause all things to work for good for those who love him and called according to his purpose. And, you know, I really believe that and hung tight to that truth.
Love it. So good.
Eloise, it's been a delight to speak with you and hear about Love Mercy and so much more that you're doing, and all the best for April. I can't believe, yes, it's only 6 weeks away. It's going to come around really quickly.
It is. It is. It's exciting. Training's going really well. I feel like I'm getting into a couple of weeks ago, things just really started to click. And, yeah, it's just a matter of, staying healthy and injury-free and, I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
Well, hey, go Team Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it. Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Pleasure.
If you want to find out more about Eloise's charity, you can head along to lovemercyfoundation.org and you can get all the details there.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.